sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with my main man, no other than my co-host, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you?
Oh, I am feeling good tonight, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Couldn't be better. You know, we're at the place we like to be. We're in the studio. We're in our element, and we're ready to go.
Studio 1B, man. I feel so comfortable here.
Absolutely. I'm loving it. And, you know, we're getting to the end of March, so getting around the corner. And we got April, and all I can think of is warm weather on the way. And I am just jacked. I'm excited about it. Having said that, though, you done anything interesting this week? Anything fun, exciting? What's new?
Well, I've gotten used to the later, you know.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying driving home in the sun rather than in darkness every night.
That is nice. That is definitely nice. I'd be excited for when it's like almost 9 o'clock and the sun's just going down. That's the epitome of summertime right there.
Right. You get way more. It seems like you can pack more life into the day.
Definitely. Because, you know, if it's during the week and you got a day off, you wake up, the sun's out, and you got your whole day ahead of you. Because you don't got to say, okay, we got to squeeze it in because at 5 o'clock, it's going to be dark. Nah. Whatever we got to do, we're going to do it, and it's going to be great. And summer. I love it.
So last week during the podcast, I had a little cold, and that manifested over the weekend.
Ooh, took you down?
It was it didn't do what has happened in the past where, you know, you get sick and you're laid out for a week.
Right.
I had that voice on Friday at work where it sounded like I was barking.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. That one all too well, where someone says good morning, you say good morning, and they're like, gonna stay away from him for the rest of the day.
And one of the guys came back and I told him my energy level's still up, I just sound kind of bad. And he said, well, wait until tomorrow. And he was right.
He nailed it.
Yeah. Saturday I was sleepy time, like I was up for a couple hours, but I took a huge nap in the middle of the day and rested up well, and I've bounced back since then.
Well, maybe that's what you needed. You just needed some good rest. I mean, you do got a little guy at home working full time, and
yeah, being out in that elements, man, that blizzard, I was out snow blowing for a bunch of hours, and I guess it all caught up with me. I don't know.
So did you get, when we did get the storm, did you get all the snow blowing and snow removal? You didn't get a letter from the township?
No. Up where I live, man, everybody pitches in together, and our neighbor had blown the entire sidewalk off before I even got out there.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. I repaid him. He had a truck out back that I got snow blowed out, and, you know, everybody works together up there, so it was good.
Fantastic. Well, let's sidestep the snow a little bit and go forward into the nice warm weather.
Yes.
Have you got anything planned as of yet for summertime, beginning of summer, spring?
We do have. We have our 5-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. 5 years. Wow, that seems like yesterday.
I know, man. You were a big part of that. I remember you being there.
I was there. I had a blast.
The club afterwards and the jazz musicians that were playing and my wife and I dancing. That was fun wedding. And now, May the 4th is our 5-year wedding anniversary.
Fantastic. So how are you guys going to celebrate that?
Well, I thought of it like our class reunions. Like our 5-year high school reunion was a rip-roaring party.
Oh, it was. What a good time.
and then, you know, afterwards, it's kind of like the theory of diminishing returns. Like there's less people, less excitement. So I really wanted to blow this anniversary up.
Oh man, I can't wait.
And I booked a trip to Vegas.
Whoa.
Yeah, man, we're staying at the MGM Grand.
Wow, out of sight. You can't. I mean, there's not much better way to say happy anniversary than we're going to Vegas.
Right. So my wife is super excited and I'm super excited, and We're going to fly out of BWI right into Vegas and then spend 4 days, 4 nights there and fly back in. So we're gonna have a rip-roaring anniversary.
What's fantastic about going to Vegas is if there was something that maybe you wanted to do for your anniversary, and maybe there was something that your wife was thinking she wanted to do for the anniversary, you go to Vegas and it has everything. If you can't find something great, fun to do, then you haven't left your hotel room, because Vegas is just out of sight.
I'm super excited for the Vegas trip. I don't know which show we're going to go see.
Oh, wow, yeah.
There's a hot show out there called Absinthe that we might check out.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of tours. There's a helicopter tour that if I'm lucky, we could do.
That'd be cool. Do they run it at night so you can see the lights from the strip?
I've been to Vegas before, and we tried to do the helicopter tour. We showed up there, and they said, oh, yeah, our last tour was at 4 p.m.
Oh.
We don't do it at night. And I was like, what? That seems like what everybody would want to do.
Yeah.
But then I came home, and I regretted not doing the helicopter tour. I've never been on a helicopter.
Me neither. And I was just looking at helicopters the other day, because I want to take a trip on one of the trips that we go on. But, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I mean, you think helicopter ride Vegas.
You want to see the strip lights at night.
Absolutely. You want to go from one end to the other.
Right. They have them that go the whole way out to Hoover Dam. I don't think we'll do that one. I think we'll just do the short one, you know, up and down the strip on a helicopter. And
right.
I think that's going to be a rush.
Yeah. I mean, regardless whether it's you get to see all the lights and everything, just being in the helicopter itself. I mean, I got to do it this summer. I just do. It seems like so much fun.
So I'll keep you posted on anything else that we book, like as far as shows and events in Vegas.
But, definitely.
Tell me about your week.
My week was good. You know, we were just recovering from the storm, which, you know, the way they were talking on the news, they made it sound like the snow was going to be here like indefinitely, because the one guy on the news said, well, it'll probably be around till April, but bang. It's almost all gone already, and I'm happy about that. But, you know, not too much going on this week. I tried to take my kids to a dentist appointment today, and I got there, and I said, I'm Foltz, and here, and I have my kids, and gave their names, and the lady gave me a weird look, and she was like, Mr. Foltz, your appointment for your children's on May 23rd.
Oh.
I was just like, oh, okay, well. My one daughter looked at me and was like, well, Daddy, what are you going to do? Because we got early dismissals today. And our appointment, I was like, we're just going to get another early dismissal. It's fine. You're allowed to have more than one dentist appointment. But, yeah, so I was just like, hey, look at it this way. You got out of school like an extra half hour early, so.
Oh, yeah, that was a total bonus for the kids.
Yeah, so it was fine. So they got home, and they just went off and did what they wanted to do. But sticking with you mentioning that you booked a trip to Vegas, we just got done actually booking one of our we like to go to the beach a couple times, but we just booked a nice house in Ocean City, Maryland for June the 8th, and we're going to go down to the beach and just have a great time. We finally had to go the route with renting a beach house. We typically would go the hotel route, but there's six of us, and I said to my wife, the days of us going on vacation and staying in hotels is over, because, you know, with six different people, six different personalities, somebody's tired at 9, somebody else is tired at midnight, and whichever way you go, someone's getting the rough end, because if someone wants to go to bed, then it's all right, well, then lights out, TV off, or the TV stays on and the person that's trying to fall asleep can't, or the person that wants to stay awake and the lights go off and the TV goes off, you're just laying there staring at the ceiling. So we decided to go and get a nice house. And I was talking to the guy that we actually rented the beach house from, and you know, just talking to him, going back and forth a little bit, I was getting so excited about it that, and I think that it's such a nice place that, if you go to Ocean City and you're interested in renting a beach house, I'm going to give the guys information, because it's a great price. It's a great house. And if you like to go the route of avoiding the hotels, you can check out this house. You can find it on Craigslist. That's where we found it. And there's a gentleman named Mike Moyer who rented us the house. He's got an email at moyer079@yahoo.com. Phone number is 484-269-2925. And just let me tell you a little bit about the house real quick. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath condo close to the beach in Ocean City, Maryland. It's about $150 a night. Can't beat that. King beds, TVs, you know, the works. And it's on 117th Street, right behind the Green Turtle on Newport Bay Drive. And go out to Craigslist or email Mike or give him a call. I'm sure he'll send you all the information. But it looks like a fantastic place, and can't wait to get there.
You know, I know that area well. I've grown up with having a place in Ocean City, and our place is on 139th. So the Green Turtle is right down the street from us. Northern Ocean City has grown so much. No matter where you stay, you're always close to mini golf. You always have your pizza places. You don't have to go far for entertainment. Ocean City's the way to go, man.
Yeah, I like it. And you know, when you're younger, you like to be down, like towards the boardwalk where all the action is. But you know, now that I'm a little older and I have my family, I like staying in the upper part because it's a little bit more quiet, and we always seem to hit the beach with the family right around the senior week time. So you know, it'll be a little bit more quiet for us. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the way things go. I mean, from when you're younger to now, you know, things start to change, and you know, you find what you like and what you don't like. So
We were down in June one time, and we watched the Ocean City Air Show.
Wow.
This year, it's June 18th, and it is fantastic.
Is that with the Blue Angels?
It is the Blue Angels. This says 2 days, June 17th, June 18th. Check your dates. See what you want to do. The Ocean City Air Show, and when we were there, they had a Harrier jet that came in. They had a helicopter that did like a water rescue. There's a landing zone where there's like perfect seating, and if you want to spend the money to be right in front of it, that's cool. If not, you can kind of check it out from around the area.
Right.
But it's just so on top of the beach that you get such a great look at the air show.
Do you get like the sonic boom when the jets go by?
They were doing I don't think they're allowed to technically do like a real break the sound barrier, but they can kind of get right up to it and just like pop the sound barrier a little bit,
right,
to like remind you of what it would be like if they actually did a full I think if they do a full sound barrier, it could like shatter the windows of the shops.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So they do like they just get real close to the sound barrier and kind of pop into and out of the sound barrier. But man, that was a fantastic
show.
That
is cool. I was in Virginia Beach one time, laying on the beach, and a stealth bomber flew over, and by the time you realized that it was the stealth, it was probably a couple miles away. You could still see it in the air, and then you heard like the goom,
yeah,
like the whole, just everything shook. It was really cool and really amazing.
Well, the thing about it is that the sound is behind, so the jet will fly by, and visually you'll be able to see it, but if you're not paying attention, you won't know that the jet is flying by until afterwards when the sound gets to your ears.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. We were down in Key West, my wife and I, on just a little trip, and we were doing this tour on jet skis, and we got to this one point and all these jets were flying over, and you know, a lot of sonic booms, and it was cool. And I said to the guy that was running the tour, I was like, wow, that looks awesome. And he was like, oh, you know what that is? And I said, no. He goes, that's Top Gun training. He said, we have a Top Gun school down here, so those are the best of the best pilots right now going at it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool to see
real live Top Gun, man. That was a great time in our life, huh?
That was, hey, one of my all-time favorite movies.
I remember swinging on the swings at recess playing Top Gun.
Absolutely, yes indeed. I do remember that. Oh yeah, well, you know, speaking of that, it, you know, it reminds me, my daughter said to me today when I picked her up, she was like, yeah, we just got in from recess when you picked me up from school. And I was like, oh, really? Was it your second or was it your third? And she's like, oh, we only get one recess now. And I was like, Whoa. What?
Yeah, that's not the way it was when we went.
No, I said to her, I said, we had three recesses. We had one in the morning, 15 minutes. Then we had a half hour one after lunch. And then late afternoon, we had another 15 minutes.
Yeah, I remember even into junior high. Do you remember outside the lunchroom?
Yeah, they at least let us walk outside for like 10 minutes and socialize. But,
right.
You know, just like everything else, you know, things start to change. You know, I went into my daughter's school to help out in class the one day, and I was hearing a particular phrase over and over again, and I was thinking to myself, what's going on? The phrase I kept hearing was friends.
Friends.
Yeah, and it was friends come over here, friends do this, friends do that. And I realized, you know, after a while, after the first few times that the teacher was talking to the children, and I spoke to a friend of mine who's a teacher, and I said, you know, I was in my daughter's class today, and I heard a lot of teacher referring to the children as friends. And she said, yeah, she says, that's what you have to do now. We're not allowed to call or say boys and girls anymore.
What?
We have to.
Why would they not be able to say that?
I don't know.
It sounds but, weird.
So, yeah, they were told that you have to refer to the boys and girls as friends now.
That strikes me uniquely.
Yeah, that is, I don't know if it has anything to do with, I don't know, being politically correct, but it seems to me that if you're looking at a classroom, a bunch of boys and girls,
you should be able to say,
boys and girls come to the carpet, right. It's story time.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, times they are a-changing. There's some things that, I don't know. Going along with that, I mean, sticking with the basis of school, I mean, now you got this common core.
Oh, man, I don't know about that.
Hopefully, by the time your son's in school, you won't, because from what I understand, that the current administration of our country is trying to get this removed. It's something that was implemented back in 2009, and quite frankly, it is a nightmare.
Oh, man.
Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get this, you know, like with math, for instance. They're saying that, well, we want everybody to be learning it the same way. But when I hear that said, I'm like, well, mathematics, can't that really only be taught like one way? I mean, to understand. I mean, I'm sure there's different methods.
I think that's what's so beautiful about math is that there's only one answer. You come up with, you know, 7 plus 7 is 14, and that's black and white. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can remember before I had children, I would think about the days when I'd have my children. I used to get excited about being able to sit down and help them with their homework because, I've been through it. Oh, this is going to be a breeze, and it's going to be exciting for me to teach to them. I'm not kidding you when I say my daughter, who's in third grade, brings me her math homework, and I read the word problem, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I pull out my phone, and I literally type in the question, and then it'll pop up saying, this is the Common Core, and then it teaches me that they really mean 8 plus 5, but this is how they want you to do it. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. I don't like it. I hope it gets changed. I've spoken to a lot of friends whose children are in school right now, and I haven't heard one person say, Common Core? It's amazing.
Yeah, no fans of Common Core, huh?
No. So, I mean,
It's so much different than when we were there. I mean,
it is.
We would have, I remember a part of elementary school where there was a prayer in the morning. And then
right. There
was the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Yep.
And then there was like a roll call, like homeroom type thing. And, you know, attendance was taken.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much of that they do anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised if, in our day, when it was time to say the pledge or the national anthem was playing, you stood and, you know, out of respect. And yeah, you put your hand over your heart. And you stood there and you paid respects. Now the kids just, they're just given the option. If they don't want to or if it's if it offends them in some way, that it's their, well, I mean, I guess it is their right if they want to sit, but in our day, you wouldn't dare attend. Well, that didn't even cross our minds.
It wasn't an option. Everybody
it wasn't an option.
Everybody did the same thing.
Right. So, I mean, well, I mean, it even goes on to that. I mean, I'll get these emails. Can you come in? We're looking for volunteers to help us out with the holiday party to decorate the holiday tree. And I'm thinking to myself, what's that?
What is a holiday tree?
Yeah, what's a holiday tree and what holiday? What party are we having for?
Well, it's in December.
Right, so I guess you're not allowed to have a Christmas tree anymore. And you're not allowed to have a Christmas party anymore. And it just, And the one coming up now, it's not having an Easter party. It's the spring party.
I heard that they are not allowed to wear costumes for Halloween now.
Some schools. Now, my daughter came home around Halloween time, and she said that to me, and I almost flipped my top. So I shot out an email to the teacher because I didn't have her phone number. And I put it in these words. I said, I know my daughter is mistaken. I know my daughter misheard. So I'm writing to you so that you can just clarify and you can tell me the right information. She said that they're not allowed to wear costumes to the fall party this year. But I know that can't be the case. Can you please write me back and let me know that that's wrong and they can. I was expecting... No, they can't. And then I don't know what was going to happen then. I was going to have to consult with my wife and, you know, make sure that everything stayed kosher. But she wrote back and said, no, she did misunderstand. I was talking about something else, but the kids are having the costume parade during the fall party. So don't worry, they can. But you know what? It probably won't be too much longer and they won't be doing it.
Right. Because, I mean... famous costumes during Halloween, a cowboy,
yeah,
an Indian,
yep,
there's
something too scary,
right, a ghost,
yeah, that could be offensive to you know, some people's outlooks on things.
When you said the word there, I looked it up real quick. Political correctness.
Okay.
The avoidance, often considered as taken to extremes, of forms of expression or action that are perceived to exclude, marginalize, or insult groups of people who are socially disadvantaged or discriminated against.
That definition is all fine and good. Now, does it state when this started becoming so popular? Did it have any information about that?
I got to check that out. When did that definition become, you know, around?
Right, because the thing that I'm having a hard time with is where it's saying that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, that it's meant to insult or tear somebody down. There's a lot of things right now that are going in the politically correct direction where I don't see it's insulting anybody. How are we insulting boys and girls by calling them boys and girls? I think it's more offensive to call them friends because you're not their friend.
No, you're their teacher.
You're their teacher, just like I'm their father, and I remind them quite often, don't get it twisted, we're not friends. And I don't know. If you're offended by that, please explain that to me.
I guess at this part of the show, I have to say, this is the views of Matt and I. This is the views of Subtle Beast.
Right. And we're just, and if we're coming across in a negative aspect, that's not our intention. We just started getting into this conversation, and we're trying to understand.
We're not representing the views of anybody that we're affiliated with.
No, not at all.
It's just the way we grew up.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out where things went rogue a little bit.
The holiday tree, huh?
Yeah.
I've also heard that they're considering removing the BC and AD from history, which would be before Christ and Nino Dominio.
Right. Yep.
Which is
basically after death.
Right. That's the way I always remembered it was after right. death. And now they're saying they're going to use before the common era and then the common era. That's a.
But if they're saying that we're removing it from history, well, it's not that common.
Yeah, I don't know that they're removing it from history. And by saying before the common era, they can still use BC. So we would still keep our okay. year as 2017.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the same.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I grew up with before Christ.
Yeah. Well,
that's the way it's been for the last 2,000 years, right?
Yeah, everyone has. And so I guess, would they organize some panel or some organization where, like, we say B.C., first thing people are going to think is before Christ, and that's offensive.
So we're going to have to change it, but let's not change it so much that we lose what year it is.
Right. So, but for them to change that to where it'll get to the point where everyone in the future will be like, oh, that stands for, what was it?
Before the common era.
Before the common era. It's going to be about 100 years because, I mean, with the way technology is going and people are just going to continue to live longer, I mean, the children that are right now, I mean, they're going to be living for a long time. And if they're affiliated in, you know, any type of, you know, Bible school or they go to church or whatever, or just in basic history, you learn BC is before Christ. It's going to be a long time before that's a staple in the human language, I think.
That kind of goes along with the holiday tree. And then the thing that kind of goes along with the boys and girls is they're thinking about removing the monikers of like Miss and Mrs. to differentiate someone who is married or not married, because they're afraid that it's going to offend either or.
Hold on a second. So when you make the choice to get married and you go by Mrs. and you, if you take your husband's last name or not, that's offensive to someone that's made the choice not to get married.
I guess, because I don't think that it goes the same way for masculinity. Like,
we're master until we're 13 years old, then we become mister.
Okay, that makes sense. I remember my godmother addressing me as master when I would get my birthday cards.
Right.
And then, so, miss until, or, and then there was the in between the Ms.
Right.
Well, I never got that, man.
Ms., I always interpreted as you weren't sure if they were married or not, so you just wanted to give them a, you know, I forgot what's the word before, like the prefix,
right?
Before their name, but I have never looked at the prefix of Ms. or Mrs. as being like, so you're married, congratulations, and guess what, you're not. You know, that's a tough one. I got one for you. I heard that they want to change the name of if you're a homeowner and every month that big bill you have called a mortgage, they want to change that name. Now, they haven't come up with what name they want to change it yet to, but you know, the name mortgage can be really, really offensive, because if you look back to what the word really means, and I don't know what part of speech it comes from, but it means death grip.
Oh, and it is.
It is a death grip.
If you've ever had a mortgage, you know what a death grip it is.
There's nobody that's renting right now that's paying $1,000 a month and are like, you know what? I'm going to keep renting because that $1,000 that I put out every month isn't phasing me. But if I get a mortgage, oh, then forget it. The death grip.
Who would that offend?
I don't
How
know.
How is that offensive?
Where did somebody be like, had a hard time paying my mortgage this month. What did you say?
You have a
death grip?
No wonder you had a tough time paying it. It's a death grip.
Exactly. It's like, it must have been he must have been speaking to somebody that was retired and they just recently paid off their death grip. And so he's just going to throw shade at anyone that still has a mortgage. The death grip.
Yeah, he makes you feel offended.
Yeah, that one is bizarre.
That one, yeah, I'll tell you, I got a bizarre one. I love this one. Cities are now changing all of their manholes to utility covers.
please explain to me why.
Well, because you could remove a manhole and a woman can go down into it.
Okay.
Oh man, that one is just,
well, if they're gonna go that far, then they're gonna have to go then and change the Bible, because in the beginning when God created man, he created man and woman, so now I don't think that they're on the same the playing field as manhole, but
it just strikes me as so odd, because it's like a term that
represents everyone,
right? Man, as in everyone,
yeah.
And it's like this piece of metal on the road. Like, how is that piece of metal offending someone?
You know what? I saw my girlfriend go down there once. How dare they call it a manhole?
Yeah, you know, she was just as much of a person as the man that went down it before. Why don't they call it a woman hole?
Yeah, or a person hole.
Yeah, if they called it a woman hole, I would be offended.
Yeah, you can't change that up. You can't go switch directions. But
utility hole.
But, well, utility hole, I guess, would be the best route, because if you called it a person hole, well, then PETA might come after you and be like, well,
oh, PETA, man.
There was a raccoon down there once. So
it was
a living organism hole.
Growing up, I can vividly remember, like, seeing on the news, someone with like a can of paint, or like some container of paint, and they take the paint and throw it on like a celebrity that's wearing a fur.
Yeah, sure.
And to me, that is just assault.
That is assault, 100%. Now, I can understand. You have your view and you have your way of thinking. Do you honestly think that you're going to get that message across from A, assaulting me, B, destroying an article of clothing that I chose to buy with my money that was provided to me by XYZ company? Why are you necessarily throwing it on me and not the person who raised these minks, basically, to make this shawl out of?
Right. It's not, I mean, okay, so if you are trapping minks to the point of extinction, then I can understand an animal that is going to be extinct, and we want to save the animal. But I'm pretty sure that the minks that they make mink coats out of are farm-raised.
Absolutely. And in the state we live in Pennsylvania, we have we're a big hunting state, but we also have a trapping season, too, and the mink is on there. So they would, our wildlife program that's run here is pretty strict.
Very strict, yes.
I don't think that the mink would be on there if it was anywhere near extinction. Well, because, I mean, I guess they're a rodent, and it's not, nobody's being like, there's a shortage of mice. Because I think they have, like, what, 30 babies at a time. I'm sure the mink probably has a ton as well. I mean, look at the deer. The deer usually has twins, and we're overpopulated at this point.
So I was born in 77. PETA originated in 1980, and I'm not bashing PETA.
No, you got your beliefs. We got ours.
I think that people have a soft spot in their heart for animals, and I love animals.
Me too.
I'm an avid hunter. I love the nature and wildlife in this area. It's one of the highlights of Pennsylvania. But what bothers me is when somebody goes ahead and destroys someone else's it just seems like it's an overreach of a boundary.
And it definitely is.
And it kind of gives them that connotation to me.
Right. And I think that what they're doing when they do something, when they do an act like that of assault and destroying people's property, in my mind, they're giving themselves a bad name. It's like, okay, PETA is supposed to be a good organization that is supposed to be doing a lot of good for, I'm not sure what all they're out for. I know they're in protection of animals, but when you do something like that, you're giving your organization, you know, a lot of problems to deal with and making it look bad. If you have a belief system and you want to have a conversation with me about it, and you come up to me and you introduce yourself, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from PETA. I noticed that tonight you decided to wear this mink shawl." If you would have the time, I would like to sit down with you, and maybe we could have a nice back and forth, and I'll explain to you what my views are, and then maybe you could explain to me what your views are, and, you know, maybe we can have a discussion. That's going to go a lot farther than coming up and throwing purple paint over my thousands of dollars articles of clothing. And not only did you ruin that, you ruined everything I had on, and now I can't even go into the event because I got to go home and get cleaned up. There's if you have your views and you want to share them with people, there's a polite way, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and don't make your organization look bad by, you know, assaulting somebody.
Right. And I think it comes down to organizations. There's a lot of organizations out there. There's a lot of people that have a lot of time, and I think maybe it's kind of the media. I don't want to say social media, because this started before social media became a huge deal. I think the media just kind of attaches to a group and then takes their views and puts them in the spotlight to the point where everyone is scared to offend this small group of people.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at there's a church down south. There's a Baptist church where they come out and they protest everything. The Westboro Baptist Church. They come out and they there was one where there was a soldier killed, and they were saying that they were going to come out with signs that said, like, "God wanted him dead" or something like that. I mean, just the most evil things you can possibly think of. And, you know, as a Christian, and as many of our listeners are Christians too, we know that something's going on in that organization where that's not the case. You don't take religion and preach hate to try and pass your message. I mean, but I don't know. There's other things too that have changed over the times. If you want to sign your friend up for sports when they're little, your boy, your child,
yeah,
your boys and girls. Now, granted, you're probably going to explain the ins and outs of them, of a competition. That competition is good for you. It builds character. It builds humility. There's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. And if you sign them up for baseball and there's eight different teams and your child's team comes in last, the last thing I'm going to expect is a trophy in their hand at the end of the year.
This one is, I think, the epitome of the political correct movement right now.
I would say so. In my eyes, and obviously your eyes.
It's called a participation trophy.
Right.
So whether you won or lost, you go home with a trophy.
Right. So, and if they think that that's a good thing, so when this child grows up and they decide that they're going to get a job and they're going to go into this job and they're not going to do the best job they can, are they expecting a participation paycheck?
Or they're going into the interview and there's 5 job openings, 10 people go in. What are they going to think when they're one of the 5 that didn't get the job?
Right.
You lost.
They're probably thinking, "Oh, okay, well, I'm not getting the job that I came here for, but you're hiring me for something.
I mean,
I get to participate in this company."
Right. I've signed up the application. I get to be in part of the organization, correct?
Yeah. No. Well, I read an article where it was a young man. He was going into the interview and he took his mother with him.
Why?
Because he didn't know how, and he was afraid that the questions in the interview might be too hard for him to answer, so that if it was, then his mother could answer for him. If I'm interviewing you and you don't have the answers to the questions, guess what? You're not getting the job, and you're certainly not getting the job if you defer to your mother, because this isn't phone a friend and get the answer. I need to know what you think.
Right. If I task you with something while you're at work and you have to call your mom to find out what it was that I... That is just not right.
Now, granted, if you want to prepare with them at home and have them put you through mock interviews, perfect. That's a great way to prepare. Leave her at home. Leave her in the car if she drove you there because you didn't get your participation driver's license or whatever. But participation trophies, they rub me the wrong way because they are not sending a good message. You're not preparing. Now, again, my view, Steve's view, you're not preparing your child for the dog-eat-dog world that's out there.
Right. When we were growing up, I always liked single-person sports.
Me too.
I was a gymnast. I was a wrestler. And that wrestling, really, when you took the mat against an opponent, you knew, and everyone in the stands knew, that one of you was going to come away a winner and one of you was going to come away a loser. And who it was going to be was determined by the two individuals on the mat.
Yep. And it even goes a step further. If we're on the same team and you want my position, well, then at practice, if I'm varsity and you're participating in JV, then you have to challenge me. If you can beat me twice, I believe it is, with your varsity, if you can beat me twice, then the position's yours. It's not because I missed a day of practice and you want an extra day of practice that you should be varsity. No. If you're better than me, come for it. And I was an individualized sporter myself. I was a wrestler. I ran track and I swam, which I loved. Now, granted, at the end of the day, it was a team winning and a team losing. But there was always a good feeling when we wrestled. If I won my match but the team lost, I did what I could.
But when you got home and you had dinner, you were still a winner.
Yep, like, oh, the team lost, but I won, and I pinned him good.
And there's no way that at dinner, if you went home and you didn't win, but your team won, that you were considered a winner. Didn't win.
No. And there was many times, as a matter of fact, in junior high, me and Steve both wrestled varsity in junior high and high school. But I can remember a match in junior high when I wrestled 120 pounds throughout junior high. And that was the middle weight class. And my coach, as he was preparing me to go out on the mat and cracking my back, if we were losing at my weight, he would whisper in my ear, if you lose, there's no way we can win the match, even if the rest of the weights win. You want to talk about pressure. But I wasn't like, but coach, I'm going to participate.
Right, exactly.
I was like, okay, coach, I'm going to do everything in my power to win.
And that, I think those were the formidable years of our lives. Those years were kind of what set us up to be the people we are now.
Right. We're hungry for to be winners.
Right. The competitive spirit was, you know, always in us, but really honed in when our arm got raised at the end of a wrestling match after a win.
Absolutely. And that we shook hands with the guy that we just beat.
That's a good sport.
Yeah. I'm sure he didn't like the fact that he lost. But obviously, I'm sure he, in his mind, thought that I was a good wrestler. He beat me. I know that I wrestled guys that when I got beat, and someone asked me that Monday at school, how'd you do? I'd be like, I got my butt kicked. Yeah. This guy was so good. And I gave him props. I was like, yeah, I didn't win, but man, was this guy a good wrestler.
Yeah. The line of all of the political correctness, it kind of weaves in and weaves out. It gets blurred in some areas, and some areas it is not as blurry. One of the big things that's out there is whether or not you should spank your children.
Right.
Now, this is against the law. So, right. I would never incriminate myself, and I would never expect you to.
Right.
But when I was a child, there was spanking at home.
Absolutely. There was spanking in school.
There was spanking at school. There was paddles in the school classroom. I remember in third grade having the paddle placed on my desk.
Yep.
And there was paddles in the principal's office. If it got that serious, that you would have to go to the principal's office.
The first question everybody asked you when you came back from the principal, did you get spanked with the paddle?
Right.
It was either going to be a yes or a no.
Because it drew results.
Yep, it definitely drew results. Now, as a child, as a youngster in elementary school, I was mischievous, and there was a couple times that I went to the principal's office. I never got the paddle, but the thought that I might, and the fact that parents were okay with it, that kind of put the fear into you. And you know what? Nothing changes behavior like fear.
Right. And it really, I don't know that it is that, I'm sure the result of the actual paddling is great, but the fear of that consequence causes the actions that keep everyone in line.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And sticking with the participation trophies and not having everyone prepared for life, it reminds me of this past election, when the supporters for Hillary Clinton when they didn't win, I don't think that they were prepared to handle the fact that they didn't. They wanted their side to win. They were told they were going to win, just like the other side did. It was equal playing field. But when they didn't, and they started having a meltdown, and then they started having to have like coping rooms inside people's jobs. Grown adults were having to go and talk to somebody because they didn't have the coping skills to understand that, okay, we lost the election and there's nothing that we're going to get back. There's nothing. We participated in this election and we got nothing. I don't think they could comprehend that.
Right. It's kind of like, as Americans, if the win is not in the bag, like that, people think, you know, we got the win in the bag. They thought they had the win in the bag, and then when it was taken away from them, they were definitely not prepared for. And it's just like a microcosm of all things in life. You think you got the win in the bag because you were always taught that you won,
right?
You didn't.
Not yeah, and it displayed the behavior of a child in a toy store when his parents told him he couldn't get the toy and he threw a tantrum. It was almost exactly like that. They couldn't cope with the fact that they're not getting the toy, and they just went ballistic. But the difference was, is that they were adults. It was tough to watch. I felt for, you know, how a lot of these people were raised, and I think they were being robbed of a lot.
So I got to ask you this, because, you know, when we do the podcast, we have our prep meetings, and this kind of came up. I really didn't get a definitive answer. I think maybe you even asked me that. Where did this come from?
You know, that's a good question, and I'm trying to think what we were talking about earlier before.
It was kind of like our parents,
right?
You know,
yep, no,
spanked us.
You're right,
and gave us the values that we needed to be competitive and to be successful.
And they put their whole lives into making us into the people that we are. And one of the theories that we came up with was maybe once they became empty nesters, that maybe they needed to, you know, take focus somewhere else. I didn't particularly see it in my parents and my household, but you know, Steve had some good points.
I just thought that maybe after our parents were done parenting us, which is a horrible way to say that, because parents are never done parenting.
Right.
But there is a point where
they let us spread our wings.
Right. Someone becomes an empty nester, and they've got to fill their time with something. I think that something was these special interest groups that have had their voices heard to the point where you can no longer do a lot of things that we could do.
Yeah, I mean, they started maybe thinking of, okay, well, I can't really tell my child what to do anymore because they're an adult. Let me see what I can look at to see where maybe I can influence or control. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're saying that they can tell someone else they can't do something.
Right, right. And it makes me think of just something recently within the past 2 years was when people were complaining about the name of the NFL, the Redskins.
Yeah. That and, one, man.
And how they said that it was so insulting, but there really wasn't any Native Americans that were insulted by that, because when there was Native Americans that were interviewed and asked, does the name Redskins offend you? They said no, and let me tell you why. We took it as a compliment, because Redskin to us means masculinity, strength, power. We're going to conquer our opponent. Which I thought was a great answer. So people were trying to make something out of nothing. They were saying it was offensive, but it, not to the group or the culture or the person that they were claiming it to be offensive to. I think they were trying to make something out of nothing, and I was glad to see that it fell apart.
I think that a lot of this political correctness that's occurring is a small voice of people making something out of nothing.
Absolutely.
And trying to influence a larger group of people.
Right. And in some cases, it works. You have enough people speaking out that, well, just for instance, there was an issue where a young man, he went into a church down south and he killed a lot of people. Yes, he was an evil, evil person. And I'm glad he's caught. I'm glad he's going to prison. But then they brought up the fact that it all had to do with the Confederate flag. Now, I'm not going to get into what side I'm on, what side I'm not, but just the fact that they changed the focus from the human being evil and going into killing somebody into a symbol of the entire South being the Confederate flag, and they won that, and now it's like looked at as not a part of history, not a part of the Civil War, but it's looked at as racism.
Right, and it seems like that they're trying to erase that symbol from our history.
Right, I think of the Dukes of Hazzard when I see that.
Right, and the Southern pride.
Yeah.
The pride of a huge culture in America.
Absolutely.
Man, if you start to erase your history, where do you think your future is going?
It can't be going too far, because it's like, I can remember in eighth grade, there was a sign in our history class, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, if you erase your history, I can't imagine what's in store for you.
It seems to me like this softening of America is taking away our competitive nature.
I think so too. And I can only, I mean, what I can do for myself is I can just be the best father that I can be and try and raise my kids the way that I see it's right. And I get roadblocked by, if I'm telling my kid, okay, well, you know, this is what we refer to something as, or this is a symbol of such and such. And then he goes to school and he has his view, but this group over here at home was taught something else. Well, now what, are they going to look at my son because he has that view that he's been taught by his parents that he's not as good as, or is he a racist, or is he evil? And that's not right. If you want to have your views, great. Have them. Teach your kids, but teach your kids kindness and respect along the way, and to be able to respect other people's views.
It seems to me like other countries are not running into this problem at the level. I know the UK has had some issues, but right. there are an ample amount of countries out there that are not softening.
Right, and if they are, it's not to this magnitude.
No, this has gone way, way too far.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if I really have too much more to say on the subject, but...
No, I think that the message is clear.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we'll just stop it right there. Like always, we're going to put up a link on Facebook page about this podcast. We'll put a link to, you know, where you can go out and listen to it as well. But why don't you share your views on some of the... political correctness that's going on, and if we didn't hit on a certain topic, let us know so that we can comment back to you and let it and, you know, and give you some feedback on that, because I know that there is a lot, and we only touched on a few, but we definitely like to hear from our listeners and see what their thoughts and opinions are.
Absolutely. Let's keep this one going.
Let's keep it going. And until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
Take care of one another. Bye-bye.